Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this week's version of Raising Expectations. And today is December 6th, so Merry Christmas from all of us to all of you. It's going to be a wonderful month as we remember the reason for the season, the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the joy that can bring into the lives of all of us. Talk about expectations. He really can meet those needs in our lives. So, hey, we're coming from you, or to you, actually, tonight here with a very special program. We want to share with you, as we always do in the beginning, it's a pleasure to be with you each week. I'm Joe Schofield, and I am blessed by the people that I want to share with you that are part of our wonderful co-host team. I want to start with, as you know, Dr. Paul Hall from Long Park, California. Dr. Hall is a retired pastor.
Sort of, yes.
But not a retired theologian, because he every week continues to, and some of you say it out with us over the airwaves,
theologian.
That's right. I got two this week. Texts that came in asked me about theologian. So
there you go.
You're going to have to write an article on this, Paul, and then share with them what that means. That'd be great. And so love Paul. He's been my brother over 50 years. Wow. Anyway, moving right along. All the way from here to there to the East Coast, we have sent two wonderful missionaries from California. These are two of the most wonderful people you'll meet, Stephanie and Craig Hall. Craig Hall. Craig Thayer. Hey, how you doing, guys? It's been a long weekend. It's going to be a great show, though, because I'm going to be quiet in a minute. It's going to take over and go good. But Craig is a surgeon. He's a trauma surgeon, we tell you every week. He's the guy, when the need is the most, he's there to ascertain what the need is and then pray and help people as a surgeon. And we love and appreciate Craig. He's a great man of God. He disciples people. He's a wonderful brother. And his wife, she's phenomenal. Stephanie is a health and wellness coach. She also works with him, helping people to find who they are, to take care of their bodies through what they eat and how they think and how they run and how they only have two pieces of fudge in Christmas and all these things that she helps people to understand. So also how to find out and let Christ be the center of our lives. Because like she has said before, when you know the one, Jesus Christ, who made you, then you understand how you're made, because he's going to reveal it to you. And that's the joy of being a believer. So Stephanie, all the way from Dalton, Georgia, in the north side of the state. And we're so glad you're with us. Love you guys. And then from Central America, as somebody asked, how'd you get somebody from Central America? I said, well, Texas wasn't that far, but it is a republic, right, Ron? So we got our brother, Pastor Ron Greer, who's one of the greatest guys you'll ever meet in your life. Ron, all the way from McKinney, Texas. He also works with, it's kind of like Promise Keeper, but it's Man in the Mirror. Paul and I tried that. When we joined, we looked in the mirror, we ran. So we didn't do it after that. But in any event, Ron disciples men. And Ron teaches men what it means to be biblical fathers, grandfathers, godly men, to find out what God wants to do in their lives. And so we're all on the same page, what it means to know the Lord this way. Ron, we love and appreciate you, brother. Sure glad you're here. And welcome back and from your little getaway there. That's awesome to have you back with us tonight.
Thank you.
Now, our special guest tonight, someone you know because many of you have contacted already. I have Facebook and Twitter things that come in from people saying, oh, we're excited to have Dr. Cintron with us again. And it's going to be a blessing tonight. We have from Southern California, We have Dr. Marianne Cintron and her very special husband, disciple of men also, working with men in churches. Her his name is Will. They both have the same last name. That's really good. So that worked out well. So they're going to be with us tonight. She's going to be sharing. Ladies and gentlemen, we're just going to have another wonderful family time. We hope you have your cup of coffee. Or, oops, glass of water, whatever it might be tonight, because we're relaxed. We want you to listen and enjoy the time. And, you know, pretty soon this coming year, we're probably going to open up where you can call in and have some questions and interact somewhat with us this way. We're just beginning to see the things that God's going to do with your program and ours, raising expectations. So without any further ado, we want to welcome. And another wonderful thing tonight that Dr. Marianne's going to share with us is, I'm going to ask her if she would open with this. And by the way, Stephanie, we thought you'd be glad we brought another lady tonight. Kind of balance, make it good, you know. So there's two roses among the thorns now, so we're good. So this is going to be a good night. Marianne just had an incredible and wonderful prayer-sought victory over cancer. And it's an incredible story. She has so much she gives to help families and people everywhere, as you know, from the times we've been together. She's going to open. Marianne, would you just come in and share a little bit with us of that, and Will, both of you? And then we're going to open it up. Stephanie, maybe you can lead in the first question tonight and share as your friend. You shared her with us. Thanks so much for making her part of our family. Let's welcome Dr. Marianne and Will Cintron.
Hello. It's really good to be here. It almost seems surreal because at the end of October, I was just in prayer and fasting over family situations and what's going on in this nation. And I guess part of the prayer the Lord answered was got me into the doctor's office for a routine physical and a routine ultrasound. I have a gene, a mutant BRCA gene, which is a cancer gene that my grandmother passed away with. My mother had it when she was 85, but my sister passed away at age 65 with it. And I just turned 65. So it's just kind of interesting. I had a routine ultrasound that showed that I had two cysts on my ovaries, and we didn't know if they were cancerous or not. I was believing for a miracle every step of the way, but it turned out they were cancerous. And so I had a hysterectomy just right on November 8th. And here it's already not even a month later. And the Lord is strengthening me. I have so many people just praying and, you know, lifting me up for peace. They got all the cancer out. It was a stage 3B, which, man, it was a little bit over, you know, midway. And they do recommend chemotherapy for six rounds, which would be every 3 weeks for six times. And that's going to actually start Saturday. So it's kind of weird. It's just, I have to stay positive and just not anticipate what I'm going to feel like afterwards. Just know that day by day, the Lord is with me, strengthening me, and he has a plan and purpose for my life. And I have things to do, families to help. And, you know, we're planning to go to Africa in July next year. And we're going to start some, dyslexic schools are being started with my reading program in the app. And we're invited to, in July, to see how their dyslexia schools are going. And we're still working on this research that I talked about on a couple of the interviews I've been on. The research was approved by the IRB at the University of APU in California, but we have to still wait until January. And so now we're looking for volunteers so we can cut some of the funding so the schools don't have to pay out of pocket. That's really been hard for them to commit to. So we're still working on our research, and it's like a little hiccup in the road, but it's a very serious hiccup because had I not caught it early, the enemy could have taken me out. And so I think the Lord just really let me catch it early. We got it. And I'm going to City of Hope here in California, and they're number one for cancer treatment. And I have a wonderful staff of nurses and doctors, and I sure got to share the Lord with a lot of people when I would go to the counters and let people know that I'm strong in faith, and people don't know what you have when you go there. So I knew that. And I think they really appreciated me sharing, being transparent about what I'm going to have, the surgery, and that I'm strong in my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would hear people behind the counter, all the nurses, amen. So it's like they're just waiting for people to come through that are positive in the Lord and uplift, you know, uplifting them. So I was home in 3 days after the surgery, which was kind of funny because it was supposed to be 3 to 5 days, but in 3 days I was ready to wash my hair, and they gave me a gown that was going to show my backside if I walked down the hallway. So I said, I'm just going to put my clothes on. So here they see Marianne. Look, she's all washed and blowed her hair. You know, her hair's all dry and she's all dressed. Let's send her home. They sent me home, and I've had some nurses come to my house ever since. I had some wounds that hadn't sealed 100%. So I have a little bit of wound care. And now my preparation is getting ready for the chemotherapy. I have, you know, a certain diet, which Stephanie can pitch in on the diet. That's going to be very positive, you know, juicing and a lot of stuff. And then I'm going to save my hair. So I have ordered it's called a Digni Cap to keep my dignity, but it freezes the hair follicles when you go through chemotherapy. So it adds like 2.5 hours to the treatment, which is a 3.5 hour treatment, but it adds time to it, which is okay by me because I want to save this luscious hair. I had a lot of memories when my sister passed away of her losing her hair and all the different wigs she had and the different scarves. And when she was alone with me in the house, she'd take that off and say, you don't mind if I just take my wig off, do you? And I'm like, oh, it just was so hard for me to see her with no hair. So I just don't want to relive that. And the Lord has given me a lot of peace that I'm not going out the way my sister did, that we caught it early and he's with me. I believe by his stripes, I'm healed. Yeah. I'm ready for it to manifest any step along the way. But in the journey, hopefully I can encourage other people and build their faith in the Lord Jesus as well.
Amen.
And God's really, you know, seeing her through all of this. I heard she is healing a lot faster than other patients do. Even one of the home care nurses said that usually it takes 4 to 5 months for her incision to completely heal, and she's almost there. And it's been almost 4 weeks now.
It's so wonderful.
God's
well, your hair drying worked. I call it the positive makeup sign. So when I see ladies with makeup on when I come in and around, I know they're ready to go. For men, it's the newspaper. On her magazine, so or they're just ornery and complain and want to get the help.
Send him home. Yeah,
there's definitely this glow that people have when it's time to go. So you had it.
Amen.
Yeah.
So Marianne, I had no idea. I love that you were willing to share with us. So thank you. That's very vulnerable. I also love that you were doing something selfless. You were in the process of fasting. And a lot of people probably don't understand fasting. I'm sure I won't say it correctly, but it's often a way to come to prayer, you know, very focused, right? And selfless. And I love that. And that it led you to be preventative. And we talk all the time, the best way to be healthy is to be preventative. And that is regular checkups, the things that nobody wants to do. If you find a disease at an early stage, and I'm sure he can speak to this better, the survival rate is very, very high. It's when things are caught so late that people get into trouble, right? And so when you were talking, I ran off because I have a prayer journal and I'm really serious about my prayer. And I was like, I have to write down everything she's saying before I forget. So that's why I ran off. So excuse me for that, but praise God. Yeah, and maybe, well, because you know how many times you say I'll pray for you and you don't do it. So now I will actually voice text people at the moment, or if I see someone on social media, I will just message them immediately because they don't want to forget. And maybe you were there simply to be a light for other people.
That's right.
Right. Yeah. just don't know.
I'm going to shine my light wherever I am, whatever's happening. Yeah, I know the Lord has really strengthened me. In fact, I had a different kind of a strength to even fast. Fasting's been really hard for me. But this was the first time I ever felt a special empowering to not have breakfast and lunch. And I think I skipped dinner the first day, but then I was skipping, you know, breakfast and lunch for a couple weeks, and, you know, and then just skipping breakfast for a couple more weeks. It was a long time, and it's a great way for me to eat, you know, not to have three meals, but just have two meals. But so I think God was really prompting me through this time, and his hand's always on us.
Amen.
You know,
that's right.
He's so faithful.
Amen. Hey, that's a neat shirt you've got, Will. Look at that, Marianne.
Yeah. So tell them about
that. Is, Ron?
That's the Band of Brothers training camp.
Oh, there you go. Excellent. Yeah.
Tell us about that, Will. Expound on that.
I'm involved with an organization out here. A friend of mine started called For Freedom Outreach. Mm-hmm. And I'm not, Ron, you might be familiar with John Eldridge and his training camp, his boot camps.
Yes.
It's based off of John Eldridge's boot camps and Wild at Heart books. The training camps that they were having out here in Central California would fill up so fast that, you know, guys would want to go, and, you know, they could only take maybe 150 men. So my friend Lane decided to start his own organization called For Freedom Outreach to do some more training camps. And they started with one camp a year. Now they're up to 3 to 4 camps a year, and they sell out each one in a matter of weeks. I'm a part of the prayer team that goes up to the camps and just give prayer support to the leadership team and just pray for the men, pray over the camp, just involved with the men when they come forward with when they have different sessions, and they have what they call wound sessions, and the men that stand up to acknowledge that they've had this wound from their father or their mother or anyone else, and they we as surrogate men will take the place of that person and ask for forgiveness. And it's something you have to experience, how these guys just open up. Amen. And you see the change happening. Sometimes you'll see guys come in on Thursday evening when the camp starts, and some guys, they just don't want to be there, you know. Mm-hmm. they're father or their brother or a friend brought them up there, and so they kind of, you know, they're going to stick it out. By Sunday afternoon or Sunday midday, their whole demeanor, you see the big change that they want to come back for them again. I've been to total camps. I've been over to 12 camps. Most of what I've dealt with has been, you know, with early camps. Now I just go up to be, you know, help in the ministry and see what I can, you know, give to other men. And it's from ages from 18 to as old as you can get. You can get up there.
Amen.
And you see, just it's a blessing to see the change that some of these men go through in just a 3.5-day period. So
absolutely, amen. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, men don't communicate much. You know, that's the PTSD for military first responders. I mean, I went to a trauma conference in Dallas, actually, and this artist came that was an ex-paramedic and did these incredible pictures of trauma bays, and then from that image made a painting, and that was his therapy. And he would do that for other people. It would, like you said, kind of spark a conversation. But, and actually in the last week, it's just been a bunch of guys have been approaching me saying, we really need a Bible study because it's just, you know, with COVID and sheltering and the distance and no church, and we need contact. So that's important. Nice job.
Praise God.
And I will.
Yeah, Base Camp is actually one of our affiliate ministries with Man in the Mirror. So they're usually at our conference. We have guys there and featured material, and some of the connections there. So yeah, absolutely essential, critical focus. So part of what I do, the churches to understand that need and start focus on it.
If I could introduce a real nice segue. Part of what Will and I are involved with in our church is the Love Life Ministry, and it's the pro-life movement. And, you know, Will has shared that a lot of the men at these camps have been abortive fathers and they need healing and forgiveness. And so I just published a new book.
Oh, great.
Called I'm Going to Be a Big Brother. You see the likeness?
Yeah, who's that handsome guy on the cover?
Yeah, so...
little guy.
So yeah, it's the story of our son and getting him prepared to have a little sibling, and it's to relieve the anxiety of the child when a new sibling's coming into the home, but it's also a pro-life children's book. So every month it talks about the growth of the baby, like the weight and the size of the baby every month, and then every trimester it talks about what the baby's doing and what the baby's feeling. And it's to instill in this generation that life in the womb matters. And what we're learning from other missionaries is they need help helping the parents and the grandparents communicate Christian values to the children. And this is a perfect example to put a tool into the parents' hands and grandparents' hands, how to impart this, you know, value, biblical value to their children. So that's really a blessing. And that's available on Amazon. And then just recently, the Lord has prompted me pre-cancer to revitalize a parenting magazine that I had. And it's called, now it's going to be a book called Powerful Parenting. And it's remembering traditional values. And it has like 17 inspirational stories that talk about, you know, a letter to dad, it's the marriage diet. It's a lot of stories that help young couples relate to each other and understand how valuable it is to, you know, if you are an at-home mom raising your child, you know, that you're not alone. And here are some just really wonderful inspirational stories. But it also talks about homeschooling, and it talks about understanding your child's temperament. And there's a directory of different directory of activities that the families can do together also that will be included. But this time it's going to be a book. And it's kind of cool because the Lord gave this to me over 20 years ago when my kids were young. And he's spoken to me that this generation for such time as now needs this information. Yeah. So we're working on that right now.
Give us the title again, Marianne.
It's called Powerful Parenting.
Okay.
And it's Remembering Traditional Family Values. And that should be up within a couple of weeks on Amazon.
Oh, two segues, I guess. So interestingly, and I think in every moderate-sized town, there are groups that are Christian that offer free birth advice, and the first thing they do is they do, because they're sponsored by, you know, donations, is do an ultrasound, like exactly like you had. And they show a baby, you know, a fetus.
They hear it.
And they hear it. They hear the heartbeat.
That's right.
That's bonding, and that woman will not abort.
That's actually what I thought when you were sharing that book. I thought, and I have a suggestion for you, because I would use that book, but I'm going to be a big sister because that's my family where it's going. So you got to make a girl version of this. But well, I was thinking,
you know what? We were going to do, we were going to do 12 of them. And the two, we're going to do 12. I'm going to be a big brother, a big sister. We're twins that are going to have a sibling. and an adopted child that's going to have a sibling. And then from the traditional family, but also from a single mom, from a single parent home. Okay. But the families that we've reached out to, something has happened where they couldn't get together and give me the pictures because they're all authentic pictures and it's really their story. Okay. So I may just have to reach out to you, Stephanie, and get your story.
You scared me for a minute there when you said 12. I'm going, wait, brothers.
Wait, where are we going? Yeah. I don't know. It's so powerful where you're talking about is in those communities because it's not just protecting that baby. It's helping to have it have some amazing values in that home and how to be a parent and how to make a way.
I can also speak to how absolutely critical it is. I know for a fact that most Christians, most church leaders don't understand the impact of this abortion issue over the decades. I did 23 years in prison ministry, started in about 1982, 83, somewhere in there, right? And I tell people that the story of how when I first started doing prison ministry, the prison was segregated. The younger guys who were 18 to 20, 22, they were segregated from the older guys because they would abuse them. Mm-hmm. Now you fast forward from 1982 to about 1991, 92 in that area. First of all, the population had exploded from about 500,000 to almost 2 million. Throughout the country. But the population inside has changed. The older men, 45, 60 years old, they're isolated, protective custody. And the vast majority of the population are younger men. And people go, well, what's the reason for that? Now, they'll give you some reason, but I'll tell you one that I know for a fact from my personal experience with men. 1982, 83, abortion was not the major issue, and it hasn't had a lot of track record until then. Those young men in late 70s and early 80s had a certain value for life, right? The older men inside had a certain value. There are rules and laws inside a prison environment among the prison population that never change, right? Until you fast forward 10 or 12 years. Now, all of a sudden, you can talk to one of the older guys and say, let me ask you something. What's so dangerous about being the main population? And they'll tell you, those young boys, they don't care about their life, and they don't care about yours. So there's a whole different set of violence, a whole set of things happening in prison where you no longer have rules. And then when you actually start getting to know the young men and talking to them and appreciating the relationship, you come to a point to understand that they don't have an appreciation for human life because they are raised in an environment and a world where life isn't valuable anymore. Mm-hmm. Now, they can't articulate it to you, but if you ask enough questions and talk long enough, you start to understand. So that the increase in the violent crime and murder rate is directly connected to this inability to see the value of human life. And I will go to any inner city area in particular. And people will tell you, and people, and it's true in a lot of cases, it's almost animalistic and people don't understand. The place where abortions are most prominent are in inner city urban areas with predominantly Black Hispanic population. And so you take that for over a 25 year period and said, okay, 40% of the babies in this place are being aborted every day. It's an everyday thing that happens. It's not long before people figure out and connect that life really doesn't have any value.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If my life doesn't value, has any value, yours don't have any. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't bother me, or no one finds it unusual to drive by and just blatantly shoot up a porch of people and hit and kill a 2-year-old. And because it's what is it? So that's one of the aspects of it. And the idea of actually doing something on family relationships and appreciating that value of your sibling, I think helped reinstill that value in human life, that actually value of a family and belonging to a family. Those things are lost. So I commend you and praise God for that.
Ron, there's a movie. You'll have to help me. Maybe you know. I love Denzel Washington. He's about one of my favorites there is. And he has a new movie, I think he found, it's a true story, Ron, exactly what you're saying. Is it called Aikman? It's a story I can't think of the name now. I was hoping maybe it's about, he has to go back and find his family. And he's in the Navy, right? And he has to go back and he's fighting everybody, doesn't understand the value of life. And he finds Denzel Washington as a Navy psychiatrist, helps to take him back all the way to his family in Cleveland. Anybody remember that movie? It's new, I think. It's powerful. I saw it yesterday. Oh, my goodness. And the whole story is about the importance of family. And it's just what you're saying, Ron. It's almost like he's mirrored and framed what you just said with this movie. Anybody a Google expert, Stephanie? We'll get it for you, Marianne.
Is it called A Journal for Jordan?
I think that's
one of the newest movies that Denzel is in. I haven't seen it.
I saw a trailer under that. I was doing that quickly myself for a minute there. If it's got him in his Navy uniform as an officer psychiatrist, that's it. And the story is incredible. I don't want to give it away, but it's exactly what Ron was saying. Brother, he's right on it, what you were saying. Everybody should watch that. And then they'll really want to buy your book and follow what you're doing and support how you're helping people. That would be great.
It's a journal for Jordan. You're right.
Okay. Journal for Jordan.
Journal for Jordan.
It's brand new.
Yeah.
A journal for Jordan.
Yeah.
The timing of this is real important with what the prayer that we had on December 1st for changing, going against Roe versus Wade, overturning that. Yeah. Then there was an administrator from Planned Parenthood who was sharing, she's no longer with them, but she was saying that now the sonograms, like you shared, Craig, are huge to show the mothers about the life of the baby in the womb. They didn't have it in the 70s,
right?
The way we have that. And so we really do have a strong case for life, in a very special way. I think the timing is really critical. And the Lord's my marketer. I'm not a big marketing person, but he knows how this is going to get out too. So,
absolutely.
I think that the question of abortion and life is such a sensitive one. But I have friends that have had abortions, and I have friends that have had a child and given them up for adoption. And I've sat and cried with multiple women about both scenarios. And I will tell you, the abortion pain, emotional pain, is far, far beyond the loss from the adoption. I mean, they're both heartbreaking in different ways, and they've all had different circumstances. But I think when you really hear people's stories, and I'm sure men have a different story too, because they don't really have a say in what's happening, it puts things into perspective. Right. It's easy to talk about numbers, but when you really know people.
And when we have our pro-life ministry, it's called Love Life, and it came from North Carolina, and it's going across the nation. They give all those statistics about the daily abortions in California, in the nation, the annual count. The numbers are staggering. And they talk about the depression that the woman feels, the suicidal rate. And a lot of that data is shared with us when we meet monthly.
Yeah. I know I have personal friends that two that I've known since high school. Relatives, and actually a number of people, but it's so prevalent among Black communities. Mm-hmm. It is difficult. Difficult at times to be in an area where you don't know someone who's had at least one or multiple. I will go back again. Part of the root cause of some of the, like for instance, I have a relative who's got probably four kids by four different men. The level of sort of darkness as it concerns her personal worth and potential, on and on, is actually indescribable. so much so that they're folks you try to work with to do ministry among those areas. And quite frankly, most of them, they get to a point and realize that it's overwhelming. They can't do it because it's and I tell them, if you're going to do ministry in this area, you need to plan on 3 to 5 years before you start seeing real results. And if you want to be effective, you need to think long term. Mm-hmm. 9-10 years here before you actually see a big turnaround. Now, and again, you figured among Black folk in America, it's about 35 to 40% of babies are aborted. It doesn't matter where you go in inner city, any Black communities, urban areas. I can't put in words how critical the issue is, how deeply damaging it is. And again, when God's, it's one of the things that God condemned early on with killing babies and sacrificing babies. There's a reason for that.
That's right.
And you, mm-hmm. The damage is just unimaginable. It's just generational. Right. And it's sold to them, which is mind-boggling. Both the government and organizations, and even now, respected supposedly organizations that care for the NAACP, Urban League. I've got a picture I wish I could show that I took because when I tell people about it, they don't quite get it. But they build a brand new office, a brand new building, where one is for the library, and then upstairs is Planned Parenthood and Urban League. Mm-hmm. They're linked together, and I tell people those organizations have been linked together for 30 mm-hmm. or 40 years. So it's one of those mind-boggling sort of things that take place. So you have all this outside influence that tell you this is something you need to do. This is something going to make your life easier because if you have a baby, you can't buy this, you can't afford this, you can't go to school, on and on and on. And I can tell you, my friend that I've been friends since a freshman in high school, mm-hmm. to this very day, she loves the Lord, grown tremendously in her faith, and I can get her in a conversation and talk about her abortion in 80 something, and she'll still come to tears.
That's right.
To this very day.
Yeah,
at the risk of being so incredibly naive, I'm not a Black woman, so
what?
I know it's shocking. But everything I understand, isn't it like? Shouldn't it be a major issue in the Black community? I mean, hasn't it literally kept the Black population limited in the United States?
You're right on one hand, but wrong on another. It has actually diminished the Black population. This goes to the satanic nature of the abortion mm-hmm. issue, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because even if you think about the origin of Planned Parenthood and abortion, so Margaret Sanger has this Negro project specifically designed to eliminate, the weed of these Black people, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. She found a way, the doctor found a way to get prominent Black leaders to buy and come alongside with them, partner with them to get Black women to control their births in their communities and sold that. So mm-hmm. you have very prominent pastors across the years. Right. Even pastors and then political leaders and again, those organizations who come around and who support it themselves. Right. So it's very difficult if you are growing up in surrounded by being bombarded constantly with certain ideas to escape those.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you know for a fact you watch the destruction and the diminishing of your population, everybody knows that. Mm-hmm. You can go back at one point, and even some people still quote the same statistic, that Black people make up 15 to 16% of the population. That hasn't been true in probably 15 years. We're somewhere around 10 to 11%. Mm-hmm. And again, when you're aborting 40%, and then on top of that, the homicide rate is the highest of any group of people anywhere in the world almost. It doesn't take much to figure out that there's a genocide going on,
yeah.
Except the people in the midst of it cannot begin to see that.
Can't see that.
They still vote for, still support, still love and champion the very people and very organizations who champion the cause of killing and exterminating them.
Mm-hmm.
It goes to the pure satanic nature of it. And I'm telling you, I've been doing it for 30 years. You can talk to you blue in the face. And people, I have literally been physically escorted out of a pastor's conference, a Black pastor's conference, because I dared raise that issue.
Wow. Mm.
It's purely satanic. Wow. Purely satanic.
Wow.
I'm sorry. We should be talking about dyslexia today. Dyslexia.
Well, I mean, it's,
oh God.
We could, again, you know, segue.
I think the whole idea of spiritual warfare, I think the fact that these books have just come out, and where was my attack on my ovaries?
Yes.
I see spiritual warfare there.
Yes.
And in the 1960s, prayer was taken out of the schools. And the discovery of the music, the discovery that was made about the left and the right sides of the brain can work in concert or independently by this scientist was made in the 1960s. And he won a Nobel Prize 20 years later. And the woman who first introduced me to using music with a reading program, giving the left side of the brain something different to do than the right side of the brain, used his science. But I just think it was kept out of the schools because God, they took God out of the schools. Yeah, yeah. And here is a help for healing for dyslexic people to read. And only now it's like, you know, the Lord's using me to bring this to the population 23 years after I've been in education to help dyslexic children. So the warfare is real, and the devil doesn't want people reading. He doesn't want them reading their Bible. He doesn't want people living. Yeah.
Skills steal, kill, and destroy.
That's right.
Yeah.
Constantly. Yes, absolutely. Well, you know, on that point of the music being taken out, I have another one of those theories I have. Because we experience the same thing. And it's always, well, it's a budget issue. Well, we can't spend a lot of money on insignificant things. So you take out music, you take out art, and you go, oh, wait a minute. Why did they introduce music and art? Somebody understood something back
that's
then.
That's right. Stimulated the brain, helped learning. Yep.
Yes. And I was a child with a learner disability. I don't know what it was, but they figured it out.
Okay.
But one of the things that helped calm the little savage in me was music or art. Mm-hmm. I was a kid who was always in trouble, always fighting. But the things that would calm me mostly was being able to draw and to create stuff. And music was the other part. My mother put us in student choirs and children's choirs and those sorts of things. But here I go back and go, okay, far back in scriptures I can go. God takes his people and then he gives them instructions about creating instruments and then doing songs and music, right?
Yep. Yep.
He gives them instructions about how they go about art of a tapestry, of painting, of sculpture, on and on and on. And you go all the way through those, and even songs and those sorts of things, right? God instructs him how to do that, how to go by, and also to do it. And you go, well, why would he do that?
Could there be a reason?
Yes.
Exactly, Ron.
It's so I go back to the attack on society, on families, on again, schools and other places. And what I just see it as one of those attacks. You take away the things that God has put in place for the other parts of our brain, you take those things away. And Satan convinces people to do that because it's better. Now we can use more money on instructional time, which I call indoctrination these days because it's not instructional anymore. Sorry, well,
we could really segue on that way into that word. What is it? Wokeism? Take away the family, take away the church, take away the music, take away everything that made America what it is today, that made me proud to be an American. Although, what was the first book that they studied, right, Paul? That back in New England, the New England Primer?
Yes.
They tied them right in with all the constitutional leaders. They were all what? Basically seminary graduates.
Yeah.
All those things. And yet, it seems like you're saying, Ron, you know, you take away those things that make them think, they don't see, they don't learn. History has no bearing. And, you know, like, who is it? Toynbee said, when you take away the history, we don't learn anything. That's the end of major civilizations.
Yes.
God's in control, though. But like you say, he's bringing up people like what you're doing and what you're saying to keep it in front. And I have a feeling people are learning a lot more, don't you, folks? Paul, we talked about this once. There, we get discouraged, but they're learning a lot more because these are facts that you're bringing up that are so accurate. And we could do all the data. Nobody wants to hear it anyway. You can't argue with anybody. Apologetics, like I told you, used to love it. Doesn't mean much now. Nobody wants to know the facts. Yeah. But we know that we know that we know God's working.
Yeah,
God's
yeah.
working
yeah.
everywhere.
Yeah.
And look at your book. Look what's up.
Can I ask you a question about the dyslexia thing also?
Yeah.
So you said that you use music.
Yes.
And something else to help kids concentrate and help, explain it to me then.
What I learned about the value of music was if you play it in the left ear, it's going to transfer to the right side of the brain and give the right angular gyrus a job it likes to do. Okay. Dyslexic people will read from the wrong side of the brain. To put it easily, there's many parts in our brain that work towards reading, and that's how God designed it. But the left side of the brain is the language center, and so if dyslexic people are reading from the right side of the brain, but you send music to it, it gives it a job it likes to do. And then we have an app that has spelling exercises that play in the right side, in the right ear, that cross to the left side of the brain. And it strengthens the left angular gyrus like Pilates of the brain, like Pilates. So, well, I have a reading program that I developed and it's got 9 steps. And so a student listens to music only in the left ear from the app when they're reading on the computer, when they're working in a workbook, and also when they do the spelling exercise at the end of the lesson. And then it just retrains the brain. You know, I did a summer school course. And there was a middle schooler who was being raised by her grandfather. The mom was in prison and he came to us because she loved music. And he said, maybe she'll learn with your program because nothing else is helping her. Well, after 6 weeks, she made 3-year gains in reading vocabulary, fluency, and comprehension. Wow. And the man started crying and he said, this is such a miracle. He said, our home used to be a battlefield. And now she gets along with us. And if you ever taught middle school, you know how those kids can be, right? And delinquent. So he said she's not getting her detentions. She enjoys going to the library. And he asked me, are you a doctor? And that's when the Holy Spirit spoke to me, go back to school, get your doctorate. And I already had 2 masters and 2 credentials. And I'm like, they're not listening. Maybe if I get my doctorate, they'll listen. They're still not listening, and it drives me nuts. So I have a YouTube channel and a podcast, and I tell everybody about music, and I have a Norton Gillingham-based model, which is like the gold standard of reading, multisensory, hands-on reading. And the Lord woke my husband up one morning in 2018 and spoke to him, and this is how I summarize it, build the app. And this was at like 4:30 in the morning. He didn't want to wake up.
I didn't want to get up.
And he heard it again in his spiritual ears. I mean, he heard it, build the app. And we talked about it that night or the next night.
I got up finally, and I have a little calendar book that I put my weight in. So I wrote it in there on that day. And then I went to work. And I came home, and then I told her about it that evening. What happened, you know, God woke me up and said, you know, build the app.
So it put me to work. So I recorded, I made a sound booth in my office, and I recorded 28 spelling exercises and 8 groups of sentences to give kids the practice. And then I have a friend who's a sound engineer. I sent him the classical music that I like, Beethoven, Bach, Tchaikovsky, Chopin. And he synchronized them for me. And then I had another person develop the app. So it was a labor of love. And I believe it's meant to reach the masses.
Praise God.
It's called CDSM. If anybody wants to get a free download, CDSM.
Say that again.
Stands for Syntron Dyslexia Solutions with Music. CDSM.
CDSM.
And it's a free download, and they can try the first five, you know, squares for free. And then it's only $9 a month or $9.99 a month. So
okay,
it's a wonderful reading spelling tool. If a kid doesn't have dyslexia, it could help them raise a B to an A and give them extra language practice.
That, what you're doing is awesome. We have 4 minutes, and so it always happens to us. We just keep bringing you back with Will. This is great, Will. And I want to make sure that it's out there. Everybody has the address to get your material you just had. But what about one more time on powerful parenting? Let's get that out to everybody. Where do they go?
Okay, it's not on Amazon yet, but it should be there in a couple weeks. So Powerful Parenting, it should be on Amazon. They could just look for Dr. Cintron.
Dr. Cintron.
Marianne Cintron, yeah.
Right. Okay. Powerful Parenting. Okay, you all know where that address is, how you look for that, where you'll find that. I want to say very quickly and give you an address to go with that. Folks, we could use your help big time for donations. We are down. And we do have some needs we need to meet also. So if you know somebody, we have somebody who will match. Anybody makes a donation to Raising Expectations, we have someone that will match that 100%. So here it is. I do it very simple. Here's your address. Do you have your pen? Class? No. Is that how you do it, Marianne? Is that how you do it? So it's just bbsradio.com/ Raising Expectations. If you'll put that in your computer and hit that, it'll take you to the page, has a little donation button there, and we could really use, we're coming up hurting this month, so we could use your help. If you could make a donation, I know God will bless you for it, and we'll bless you, we'll thank you. We're blessed that you tune in and listen. Thanks for all the emails and, excuse me, mainly Facebook and other things that we get. We're blessed by that. All right, we have 3 minutes. Anybody want to say something in like 60 seconds that we could share? Yes, Doc, how you doing there?
So every day since you were on last, I think of you. And that's because our youngest is dyslexic. Oh. And we heard the music thing. Step got him earbuds. He has a left earbud in his ear all the time.
All the time. Oh. We told him. We said, switch it. Yeah. And it's made a huge difference.
Wow.
Great.
Wow. That's great.
May I quote you?
So Will, he did say build the app, not the arc then. Okay, good. We're good.
Right.
I think if you build it, they'll come.
That's right.
Yeah.
Write that down. That
Praise God. Praise God. I love
That's
it.
Great. Well, there's a great testimony for you, Marianne, that right there.
It
from,
is. And I look for testimonies like that. Praise In fact, God. I've had a dream of Shoeless Joe Jackson. And I'm like, why would I have the dream of the cornfields? Because if you build it, they'll come. It's just confirmation.
That's right. Praise
God. Love
that.
Well, how about you could have a new one? If we play it, they'll listen. There you go.
Okay.
Just like that. If we play it, they'll dance. Maybe how long? I don't know. That'll work.
If they listen, they'll read.
Yeah, there we go. It's amazing what you've done with this. Isn't that something, Ron? How she did that, and they just, and Stephanie Tech, wow, that is great. We probably could have used that when we were in school, Paul.
I definitely could have used it.
It would help us a lot, yeah.
I barely got out of school, even though I left early, and I didn't become a reader until I was probably in prison. And usually I was one of those guys that had to have music, a little soft music playing, otherwise I couldn't concentrate. But nobody ever put it together for me. Just did.
This is in that movie too. If you can look that up, Denzel Washington's movie is fantastic. So
check that out.
That's something else. Well, it's time to go. They're giving us the word. We have a voice that comes and says, "You're done." No, anyway, no. Thanks so much for being with us tonight. God bless you. Merry Christmas. We're going to continue to pray. It's a miracle. God has so much more he wants for you to do. And thanks for the testimony. Will, what a great testimony there. So on behalf of everybody, hey, Merry Christmas, everybody. We'll be back next week with an incredible guest that's written a trilogy. You're going to be excited to see it. So on behalf of everybody, we want to wish you the best. From Raising Expectations, we'll see you next week. We'll send you the sound off like Like Roy Rogers, happy trails to you. We'll probably see you. Have a great and a blessed week. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
God bless y'all. Thank you, Mary Ann and Will.
Thank you, guys. Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556. Or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.